Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 231 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How you doing? The Flyers are back into action this week. I'm sure you knew that because you're a Flyers fan. What's going on? It's Drew Paschke along with Jeff and Doyle, and we're here to bring another exciting week of Flyers talk. Probably off-topic talk and a lot of Loopy Drew, because I'm really tired tonight. Worked a long day.
Loopy Drew.
Here I am to give it to you. Wearing a bathrobe, feeling myself. Enjoy. So enjoy that visual.
Feeling yourself, like, literally, or feeling yourself figuratively?
Figuratively for now, but we'll see about fingeratively later. As I feel this nice bathrobe on me body. So the Flyers this week went 2-2-0. Started off really, really crappy since our last episode. We're thinking the Flyers, you know, come back, have a nice little week after having those big games versus the Penguins.
Yeah, Jeff was like, you got a pretty good chance to beat the Devils this week. They probably should.
Well, you figured.
And then he said, watch them lose because I just said that. And look at what happened.
Flyers had a hard-fought loss to the Penguins. And like they, in overtime, they beat the Avalanche. They beat the Red Wings, and we're thinking, oh, the stars are all aligning. And then, of course, they lose 5-0 to the New Jersey Devils. Some would say near basement dwellers of the Metropolitan Division, as they currently sit. I don't even know. They're in the third to last place in the Eastern Conference, let alone they're the last in the Metro right now. And then 7-2 went over the Caps after that, feeling, okay, nice. Took the Caps. Nice shellacking of the Capitals.
Back in business, baby.
As Josh Carter would say.
Ovechkin held to 0 goals.
And 0 points.
Up for a big milestone that night.
Didn't get his record.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
But another milestone happened instead, which was Claude Giroux getting his 800th point.
Thank you, Doyle, for that extra little... I love that baseball color commentary, Doyle, given like the inside info. You know, back in February when he starts spring training on Tuesdays, he eats hot dogs.
Yeah, I do love that.
You like the little side comments? Yeah.
Claude Giroux skating around 5'11", 176 pounds, hails from Hearst, Ontario, swing and a miss.
Oh, so. Anyway, back to Hearst, Ontario. When he went to high school, as they call it, grade 10.
Did you ever see Brockmire? It's a Hank Azaria show where he's the baseball announcer that's also like an alcoholic.
No, but it sounds like a great job.
Apparently it's stuff like that. It's like, well, I have a very violent alcohol problem. It's a little bit outside, ball one.
So the Caps, 7-2 win over the Caps. Ovechkin hangs off, and Giroux actually tying Bobby Clark for, I think, franchise most assists with that record. That's my little baseball color commentary, Giroux. If he hasn't eclipsed him yet, I haven't checked, or he will. 4-1 win over the Panthers, and then the Flyers thought they had it all figured out just the other night before you're listening to this show. The Flyers play the Islanders, and after the first period, they were down 3-0. And then they come back all the way back to tie it up with less than 2 minutes left to make it 3-3. And then a horrible defensive breakdown and a long screenshot that Elliott maybe could have had. It turns into 4-3 by, was it, Pullock?
Shoot the puck over 100 miles an hour. That's why I wanted the Flyers to draft instead of Sam Moran, but just...
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, Sam Moran worked out so well. It sounds like you popped bubble wrap.
I was bubble wrapped down here. I'm shipping
Drew's
from Amazon.
Sitting on bubble wrap right now.
I'm an Amazon shipper now.
The worst part of that Islanders game was they fought all the way back to tie it, and you're like, oh, sweet, there's a minute and a half left. There's no way they could mess this up. And then Vigneault had to sit like Coots and Giroux because they literally played like the past 10 minutes.
Yeah, to try to get the extra.
And you're
the
like,
game
all right, JVR, JVR, just don't mess up.
But Hayes was out there too.
It was just an overall not good shift for anybody.
They got out of sorts early on. They could never resettle back defensively.
Fire drill in their own zone.
Yeah, and then like everyone lost Pulak at the point. JBR didn't get out fast enough to cut down any sort of lane, and Pulak just got to walk into the shot. And you're like, God damn it, Brian Elliott. Like,
yeah. It wasn't really his fault. I mean, he didn't have a great game, but,
I mean, the same thing
they
happened.
They have been leaning on him quite heavily since Carter Hart. Carter Hart did come back. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit.
The same thing happened in the Devils game, though, right from the opening faceoff. But, like, Myers and Giroux crossed signals, and then that guy.
Well, Myers also, like, casually followed that puck into the corner where.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why they weren't talking or why one of them thought the other one was supposed to get it, because, like, I didn't hear any yelling, so I don't know.
It was Myers, like, sashayed himself to the corner.
Sashay!
And then Giroux and everybody else on the ice got caught puck watching, and then goal.
Yeah, that guy scored 13 seconds in. And you should be like, well, that should be a general idea how this game's going to go.
Yeah.
Well, that Islanders game I did not watch much of.
Yeah, I turned it off after the first period.
I missed the first period because of being at work again late. I love working late.
I watched most of it because I'm a glutton for punishment. It was a very weird game because the first period was like, we can't pass, we can't shoot.
Well, they also are coming off of back-to-back.
Right, but so are the Islanders.
Again, the Flyers always come off
Islanders are coming off of back-to-back with the Capitals, so they are probably skating harder.
Possibly.
But anyway, so then like the second period starts and you're like, well, are we going to get more of the same? And then the Flyers are just like, nah, we're going to play now.
Yeah, I saw that and it was 3-2 and Joe the Rat was telling me not to turn the game on. And I didn't. And I saw it was 3-2 with a few minutes left, so I decided to turn it back on because I got done what I was doing. I put the game on thinking, all right, well, I got to watch at least some of this game and see if they come back because I have to do a podcast tomorrow, the Broad Street Boy podcast. If you haven't heard of it, make sure you subscribe and listen on every Thursday. Oh, wait, you already are. And then it turned out the Flyers tied it up. And I'm like, wow, they fought back. Great. Cambridge
City's
good
OT. Oh, so
you
saw the third goal happen.
I turned it on right before the timeout, yeah.
Oh, see, so, you can't really be blamed for
exactly.
jinxing it.
Exactly. I'm explaining this on the air. That way, if I die tomorrow or in the next 2 minutes, this at least is out there so people can hear it. Make sure you guys post it,
your
by the
side
way.
Of the story.
Exactly. Who is Drew Papsky in Inside the Interview? So then they tied up, and I'm thinking, all right, great. I'm going to see the end of this game. Great thing to talk about the podcast tomorrow. And here we are talking about a not win on the podcast, because even though the, getting a point in OT would have really helped them last night. So it was like fighting a long, hard battle with cancer to work your way back in, then you die of, like, the common cold. That's what it felt like. I don't know what that feels like, but I imagine it's not good.
Yeah, no, I think that's bad.
Yeah. So, or surviving all of Vietnam, and then coming home and dying by a drunk driver.
Classic story for so many.
Yeah, you know.
Or, like, who was the guy in Band of Brothers where they captured Germany and then... They're funneling all of like the like new guys there, and he got shot in the head by his own guy.
I haven't watched that in literally like probably like 15 years.
He survived
14 years. Okay.
Yeah, but he got shot in the head.
I haven't watched that a series in and like they, it's like, been like yeah since high school for me. So we're talking like long time ago.
They chased down some like brain surgeon in the middle of the night, basically.
It sounds familiar, but I don't watch it.
I forget what his name is. But
you guys call an 856-347 Puck with your favorite Band of Brothers season or episode from the season one.
From season one.
This is the only season they had. Not the Pacific.
Yeah, the only season that's called Band of Brothers.
And don't worry, Masters of Air is coming out for all you World War II fans.
Dude, I've been waiting years for that to come out.
What is Masters of Air?
All right, so this is a Flyers podcast.
Like a while
is this
ago.
Like the Air Force version of Band of Brothers?
The Air War, yeah. Yes.
Ah, so it's just like people sitting in chairs and they're like, what do you want to do today once we're done flying?
No, it's still, it wasn't the Air Force yet.
Come on, dude.
But.
Strap in that load.
The guy who wrote I actually had the book and it was
autographed.
It's autographed by the historian that.
Can you mute his mic?
Yes. It's autographed by the head historian. And like he was, when I went to his workshop, he was like talking about, and I met him and hung out with him for the whole week when I went to the World War II Museum in New Orleans that one year, a couple summers ago. I don't remember, old podcast listeners remember that trip probably. And he was like, yeah, so I'm talking about Steve and Tom. I'm like, all right, dude, we get it. You're on first name basis with Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. So they're the ones that work on all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, that's like their go-to historian. So it should be pretty cool. Anywho, talked about history. We talked about World War II. We talked about the Devil's Game a little bit. But Carter Hart did return.
Yes, he did.
And he came back in
Bailed the Flyers out a little bit in that Panthers game.
Yeah, I thought
that
was a good.
Probably should have lost that game.
Yeah, but know what? Because you have to understand that the Panthers, these aren't your grandpapa's Panthers anymore, right?
not grandpapa.
These aren't even your dad's Panthers. These are the new age outlaw Panthers, and they are definitely a speedy team.
They're wheelers dealers.
Yeah, they like to move using their speed, their neutral zone, and create offense.
They wear black cowboy hats.
They do?
Yeah, they're the Outlaws.
They have a defenseman named Uyghur. That confused me.
Don't be eager to stop Uyghur. So the Flyers were winning that one 4-1, but how do you guys think Carter Hart looked in that game, huh?
I think he looked good, shaking off some rust.
Yeah, that first shot where the Panthers scored, I was like, oh, Jesus. But then he rebounded pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he locked it down. The Flyers that game, though, were not very good against the rush.
No, they were not.
Anything in transition, they were getting torched.
You think that was because they just weren't tight that night? Or do you think it was because the Panthers were that much faster, or a little bit of both?
Probably a little bit of both. The Panthers, they have just so many dudes that can just move. Like
a bunch of like second year Carl Hagelin type players with so much speed.
like the one guy who's probably like 27, I think now, but he was one of those guys that came over late from Russia. It was Evgeny Dadonov. That dude can fly.
Brother Evgeny
Barkov's
Mamonov.
Really fast too. Even Huberdeau's pretty quick.
Trocheck's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they suck at defense, so that worked out in the Flyers' favor.
It did.
Well, they put up 4 goals on them, so that wasn't a bad thing to see. Also, common thread. Since that 5-0 loss to the Devils, the Flyers had a little lineup change. And I'm going to tell you guys what I learned this week. I'm going to start off with what I learned this week, because usually I ask you guys first. I learned that...
it's very selfish of you this week.
I know. I'm very selfish. I'm in a bathroom, damn it. I deserve it. You'll blow me, because I deserve... Sorry. Mel Gibson comes out sometimes.
You deserve a bat to the head.
The Flyers can face against one of the best teams in their conference after losing Shane Gostisbehere and put up 7 goals on him. Fact or fiction? No, wait, it's fact. So I think Shane Gostisbehere, don't need him. See ya, kid.
Okay.
Is this a real Drew take, or is this...
I'm kind of slippery right now, to be honest with you.
Is this a not Drew Flyer fan take?
Hot take alarm. No, but seriously.
Moister than an oyster right now.
You love this, Jeff? You love when I do my Flyers fan fiction? But no, seriously.
To be fair, though. Just to build on your point, he definitely came back from injury too soon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because
sure.
He was right out of the lineup with more knee problems
the
next day.
Chucked his stick over the glass of practice.
You guys are having a really low goals against average with the 10 games I was out. What? You guys are playing great on both sides of all three zones. There's no possible way I can let this happen because it just lowers my value.
Yeah. He looks
smashing the imaginary button to put Shane Gostisbehere.
Damn it.
He let some pucks get through him at the line that the Devils had some grade-A scoring chances on, and he just didn't look good.
He just, like, everybody was like, oh, his possession metrics are still good. He looked pretty healthy moving out there. I was like, he looks like he's just stuck. Like,
he didn't look good at all. I don't know. People were saying he had a good game against the Devils. I was like, what did you watch? Like,
I've been saying trade goes for at least 2 years now. Which means the Flyers will do it about 2 years from now or a year from now. Much like they did with Jeff Carter, much like they did with Wayne Simmonds. I'm always like 2 years behind when they actually do it. And it's not because of that game.
You're really behind
it's really not.
The Drew one, though.
Oh, well, you know. That one was never really real. The trade Simmonds, trade Carter, trade Ghosts have been semi-real or mostly real. And although I'm hot taking it right now, I'm not saying he brings nothing to the Flyers table and he doesn't add some sort of... something to their game. I just don't think he fits in with this team's identity. Point blank. I don't think he fits in with like the defensive scheme Vigneault's been putting through, and I think he's more of a liability out there because of his turnovers. And yes, he's very prettily keeping pucks in at the blue line. And yes, he has some power play skills, but overall, he misses the net a lot. He turns it over, and it was kind of flash in the pan. And although he could still turn out some amazing plays sometimes, when his own zone... I hold my breath, and when he's trying to make breakout passes, he makes turnovers. And also, when he's trying to make passes in the offensive zone, he turns it over to make a 2-on-1 the other way.
Dude, anytime he, like, turns the puck over at the blue line, I'm always just like, God damn it.
It's just, we've seen it happen so many times. And once again, it's not to say that he's not valuable to a team. I just think this team right now, the kind of defense they're playing under Vigneault, and you see, like, this whole buy-in top to bottom, all four lines, all three pairs, do you really need a guy like that to have to be in your lineup? I know having depth, I'm just saying that could the writing be on the wall for Gostisbehere? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just a jerk off with a Flyers podcast. I don't know. I just, for the eye test, I don't care about metrics. Look at the way he's played over the last couple of years. I don't see his future here being very long.
I never looked it up, but I said it in the group chat.
Our group chat, the Broad Street Boy podcast, official group chat that none of you can be a part of because you're all a bunch of plebs.
I want to know how many like turnovers, like on the power play that Shane Gostisbehere has been on that have led to odd man rushes the other way or like breakaways the other way.
These are stats we could have if we actually got paid to do this. So we should just have a PayPal donate button and everyone can pay us, and then we still won't do it.
Because
as bad as everyone says Ivan Provorov is on the power play, like I feel like that doesn't happen very often.
Well, in that Islanders game, he let a couple get through him at the line that were... I mean, I don't know if they really turned in anything, but it killed their momentum.
Well, I don't care about that. I care about giving up odd man rushes the other way for scoring chances while you're a man up. That's more important to me than you lose the
puck. Which is way more deflating.
Yeah.
Lose the puck at the blue line, that sucks, but it doesn't lead to you potentially getting scored on at the other end.
Now, let's look at it from this perspective. Everybody's on this trade ghost train right now, but once Niskanen leaves, because you assume he will when his contract's up.
That's 2 years from now.
Right.
Well,
but like,
1 more year after the season.
You got to hope that like there's somebody there to replace him. And is it Ghost? Or is it somebody else that
or
they
you
get
hope
through
that,
free agency?
Or you hope that one of the guys like Myers or Sanheim really takes
right.
the next step.
Yep. Excels.
Because those two really need to take the next step for it to really work out.
So, I mean, I'm on board if it's a good trade package. Let's get him, ship him out.
Because let's be honest, man. Do you really need that offensively gifted defenseman that's going to be a third-pairing defenseman and power play specialist? The Flyers have enough forwards, but they're not hungry for point men on the power play.
Well, what's also throwing people off now is that I think the tide is turning and people like Robert Hägg.
Yeah.
Because like they're like, well, he's completely average in every way. And we're like, yeah, we've been saying that like the entire time. What, you're just getting to this?
Yeah, because he was drafted like, and you expect him to be so good because he took so long to get to the NHL. No. But even think about it this way. The Flyers also have guys like Morgan Frost coming up here and there. Could long-term member of the Flyers. He's also going to be part of the power play. So actually... his spot could be taken by a guy like Frost on the point. I'm just thinking here, spitballing. I don't think it really is like a necessary thing. But is if Ghost's main attraction is his power play, do we need him long term? I don't think you do.
I also feel like everybody is still like, well, he has such great upside because of that 65-point season, and you're like, just
that's well, 2 years ago.
Let's put that aside.
What have you done for me lately?
Right now that they have tape on him and they know how to play him, when he's not as effective as he used to be.
That core injury a couple of years ago, you think that might have been the one that did it for him?
Well, he put up 65 points after that.
He had 65 points in 17-18. He had 37 points last year, and he has 12 so far this year.
He has 12 points. That's all he has?
He's a...
Oh, my God. I thought he at least had 20-something. I haven't looked at it. Oh, my God. Dude.
5 goals, 7 assists.
Yeah, it's... With how much power play time he gets and offensive zone starts he gets...
Goals-wise, he has 1 power play goal.
And he bitched about not getting offensive zone starts last year under Hextall and, oh, my God. What was that guy's name? What was that coach's name? Scott? Gordon. Thank you, soundboard Drew. I didn't figure out what his name was. He bitched about not getting offensive zone starts, right?
Now, since his 65
now, listen, I know there's
to,
plenty of...
Rick Wilson.
There's plenty of one-word articles out there that'll be like, no, you shouldn't trade Shane Gostisbehere, but they'll just say no. What do you have to lose here besides the fact that you... First of all, he wasn't a high draft pick anyway. We
he
got
was a
him.
Third round pick.
Yeah,
fourth round pick. Like
yeah, he was a high, third round pick.
Third round
second,
pick.
Third.
He had a nice Frozen
from
Four
from the Chris Versteeg trade.
Ah, yeah.
He came over
trade
with
that keeps on giving.
Versteeg.
Where did he play? Colgate, something with C.
Union.
Yeah,
Union.
The
something
Union
weird.
Ghost.
Weird
the Union
ones.
Dutch Rudder. Something like
Dutchman.
That.
Touch rudder, nice. Like
so in
we should do that after the show.
In 17-18, when he had 65 points, he's playing 21.5 minutes on average a night. Last year, he went to 19.5. And then this year, he's been averaging 18.5.
Yeah,
so his minutes are steadily declining.
Don't see him in the future. I cannot stress it enough.
He's also a little bit of like a head case.
Well, so there were all those reports.
There's been rumors before about
right, there
this.
Are all those reports that he has a bad attitude, and I feel like Vigneault is definitely not a guy who tolerates bad attitudes.
He doesn't have to. He has established a pedigree in NHL of being a coach who he doesn't win the big one, but he wins a lot of stuff besides that.
So, like, it's, you know.
Even if you trade him, you still have, I mean, if Sam Moran ever plays hockey again.
If he ever can stay healthy for more than 2 minutes.
Mark Friedman's been, like,
tearing up
kind
the
of
AHL.
Yeah, outgrowing the AHL right now, and then you still have guys coming up. Like this year, they drafted Cam York, who's playing at Michigan.
Oh yes,
right
Cam
now.
York, and they look at him as being a guy that can be offensive minded from the blue line. True, I've heard about that.
So like, I don't know how long he's going to stay at college. Maybe like another year or two. Apparently, he needs to put a little size on. But like, yes, Shane Gostisbehere can be, I think, expendable.
The next,
it's just for me, it depends on what you get back from.
Also,
well, you're not just going to dump him just to dump him because it's a team friendly contract. But the windows the next 2 years with the forward groups the Flyers have, all you need is defensive that can make a one good first pass. It's going to be an amazing first pass. It's going to be an offensive dynamo. It's going to be a guy to get the puck out of the zone. Let the forwards go to work because the Flyers will still have Niskanen for another season and Myers, Sanheim. And then Provorov and Hägg, as long as he's not getting yelled at for dumping it in the zone, even when it's appropriate to dump it in the zone.
So ridiculous.
Also,
I don't think it's that bad.
Now, I'm looking at SpotTrack to see what free agent defensemen are coming up. So at the end of this season, guys like
Dustin Byfuglien.
He's a free agent
well,
now.
Yeah,
boys.
He's a free agent right now. So at the end of this season,
finally.
If they don't re-sign beforehand, guys like Torrey Krug, Sammy Vatanen, Jake Muzzin, Dmitry Kulikov, Brendan Dillon is on the list. Joel Edmondson from Carolina, he's pretty good if he doesn't re-sign. So like, there's free agency options if they're not picked up by the teams they're currently on if Ghost were to be traded and the Flyers needed to
I would take
fill that spot.
I would
TVR
buy one of those guys.
TVR from Carolina.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Last time we had two Schoenbrothers on our team, it didn't work out. And they're kind of linked anyway between JVR
so,
and
yeah, the
Luke
point
Schem.
Is Eric Gustafson from Chicago, not the Eric Gustafson that got screwed when Thiemann retired.
He didn't get screwed. He left and said he didn't want to play here because he wanted top
then
minutes.
Then he tried
and
to crawl back in like 2014, 2015.
I've made a huge mistake.
When they got rid of Coburn and Thiemann.
And that was his shot in the NHL.
And
he blew it.
Was like,
you know,
yeah,
he regrets
fuck
that.
Yourself, right?
He regrets that to this day.
Right. Also, you have to keep in mind, I don't think Fletcher's necessarily worried about it, but you have to have people to expose to the expansion draft.
So that's
and
why
do you
want to
keep Ghost around for that? Because Ghost, like, you float Ghost out there and be like, eh, come on. Good contract.
I mean, yeah,
needs
I think
a change of scenery.
When is the expansion draft? Is that in June?
Please don't take anybody else.
June?
Is it this summer or next summer?
I want to say it's after next season.
NHL expansion because
I believe
draft.
They're 20,
Seattle
21, 22. I
think
they
pushed
start.
It back. Seattle 2021 expansion draft will follow same rules.
Oh, damn it! So we gotta wait till next year.
Season, yeah.
But at that point,
do you just risk it and hope that like
they'll pick up Niskanen?
Out? Yeah, or like, well, at that point, at the end of that season, Niskanen will
be
a free
agent. Damn it.
So they can't. Yeah,
that's all right. Because I would. Rather
I was waiting for it to be this summer. I thought it was this summer. They pushed it
I
back.
I think they pushed it back.
Okay,
I would rather them
because of the threat of a lockout. They didn't want it to be.
Yes.
I would
yes.
rather them protect Provorov, Myers, and Sanheim anyway. So.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah. So what is it? 8 skaters or 7-3?
Something like that, yeah. Or just it's like X amount of players total. Doesn't matter who
I
it is.
I think it's 8 skaters, or you get seven.
Yeah, but you expose guys like Voracek who have a super contract. So they want to take it. If you want to take it, yeah, you give it the chance to take that contract if they want.
Well,
you
have to
it.
Protect.
Or also at that point, you look about things like is Kevin Hayes still going to be
Flyers,
worth keeping on the team?
Well,
you have to protect him because he'll still have a no movement clause.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
I forgot.
When Hayes
so
signed his deal,
but Voracek does be protected.
No,
him and JVR.
You dare him to take that big contract,
right?
Yeah.
When Hayes signed his deal, he signed it specifically with a no movement clause
in the first two
lockout
years.
Year, yeah. Or the first three. Or
sorry, this might be not a very popular thing to say, but if he's still on contract, I think we should expose Tyler Pitlick to the Seattle expansion draft as well.
You going to become a Seattle Kraken fan after that?
Really, just to drive his numbers up so I can sell that Flyer Sandstack sign puck, baby.
Which is smart. He scored for the Islanders. So
he did. Unfortunately, he was still wearing a Flyers jersey and still in the Flyers organization. So not a great day for him. Tyler anyway, who wants to go? Raise your hands, people. Come on. All right, class. Come on. Let's go. Who wants to go? What do you got for me?
I'll go.
Jeff, what'd you learn?
The Flyers.
No, you can't go to the bathroom. You have to answer the question.
You have to say, may I? You can't say, can I? Have your teachers ever do that when you're in school?
Yeah. I don't know. Yes. Can you? Well, I piss myself. Yeah. Piss myself in your classroom.
And by piss, I mean shit.
I'll go with the Flyers' bottom lines miss Joel Farabee.
Oh,
I think more than people realize.
So why'd this asshole Fletcher decide to sit Joel Farabee and Ghost after they were playing so well?
I didn't realize that Farabee had, I guess, as virulent of a sickness as he did. He said he lost 10 pounds.
Yeah, dude, that's the flu. That's legit.
Wild. That's what he said. Fletcher's just covering his tracks. He's an idiot. There's no way you should sit a guy like Farabee ever. If he has the yellow fever, he should still be playing. Thoughts?
Was baby steps, though, that they did not put Stewart in the lineup?
Stewart! Stewart! I didn't even realize Farabee was that sick. I was just like, all right, I guess he's out for a game. Maybe
he's like an anti-vax person and didn't get his flu vaccination.
Oh. Or
it
maybe
hits you 10 times harder when you don't get vaccinated.
Maybe
that's true.
Has mono, like Couturier did that one
season.
But
they missed his. He's just
boys,
so
whichever he prefers.
He's got a motor. He hunts pucks like he's. I think the Flyers missed that the fourth line forechecking.
And Farabee was playing pretty well in the week prior too. He had got a 2-goal game and. just was seen to be all over the ice at times, which you like to see from a young guy. He looked like he was finding his groove, where some guys in their rookie season could sometimes hit a little bit of a wall the second half because you're not used to playing that many games over the course of a full season. Even though he hasn't been here for every game in the full season, he's been a little bit back and forth.
I think he's only played like 30 games in like a total season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but still, like, I mean, this is a time of year where some guys hit like the wall anyway.
Well, that's why they're saying like the All-Star break for him was like probably perfect because of that.
He got to keep playing too, right? Down at the Phantom, so that would help him. So, yeah, do you think Farabee's, like, needs to get back on the ice pronto there, Jeff?
Yeah, he was in against the Icelanders, was he not?
You're talking to a guy that didn't watch the game.
Yeah, dude, I didn't watch the game last night. I believe he was back on the ice.
Yeah,
I think I saw him.
They benched Morgan Frost for him.
Yeah. Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking to a guy that watched the last minute and a half of the game and then turned it off after they lost because that's all I could watch. You know?
Nice.
Working like a dog. Not here to watch the game and talk to you idiots about it. I'm here to
like
make you join my eventual cult when you listen to my podcast so I can make you drink the Kool-Aid, but it'll taste delicious and it won't kill
like
you.
Like a doge.
What if I turn this into, like, you know, some weird, like,
political or religious movement? Your Jim Jones Sinai cult?
Yeah, like a really weird, like, self-help movement where I just talk very loudly.
You should do a Scientology one. That way you can get paid for it and then just, like...
I could totally fake believing stuff just to get money. I do it all the time as a teacher.
You do a Scientology one, you could, like, you know how they do it where it's, like, you have to you pay as you go. So you, like, give them some of the information of the religion, and then it's, like, well, chapters 3 and 4 will go over after you pay this.
It's like leveling up an RPG. That's what kind of gets me excited about Scientology, because it's, like, leveling up. Yeah. And it's, like, I need to save enough gold so I go to the trainer and learn my level 3 skills.
It's also a investment.
Yeah, unless you download the hacks and watch that show.
Once this podcast becomes lucrative, I'll be able to pay off Scientology in, like, 4 weeks.
But didn't the guys who were, like, didn't some bigwigs in Scientology put together a book or something?
They were wearing wigs?
They were,
like this place.
They basically were like, here's all the secrets you have to pay for. And that's how South Park got them. Or something along those lines, because South Park did that whole episode where they were like, this is what they believe.
Yeah, there was a documentary that came out that was like all these people that like defected from
Going Clear. It's on HBO. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah,
very good documentary. But even they were saying like what the actual beliefs were.
And the girl from King and Queens, Danielle...
Leia Remini.
No, why is it Danielle? I don't know. Maybe
Danielle Fischel Topanga.
Yes, her. That's what I was thinking about.
She's always
Danielle Bird does not smell like.
She's always on Drew's mind.
Oh, Topanga.
I'd like to bang ya.
So I have a really stupid idea. So one day when we have a lucrative podcast empire and we have a whole studio, people come to visit. It's like, oh, you're going to meet one of the big wigs around here. And it's just me wearing a big wig.
Big wig Drew. I'm going to fuck some hooker.
But big wig Drew is like a double entendre. Now he's wear a big wig, but also he thinks he's like the CEO.
Yeah, you're wearing a suit.
Yeah, I'm a big wig Drew. How you doing?
No, you know what? A t-shirt and a blazer, because that's the epitome of cool.
Yeah, it's like cool, like hipster startup like boss.
Exactly.
Like wearing his glasses like, hey guys, as many K-cups as you want, but only the recycled kinds. Okay, no plastic in here. Also, we're going to go get some beers for lunch at happy hour, not do any work, and still justify our salary. See you guys later.
Go out for beers at lunch.
My
kegerator in the office.
Yeah.
My idea of this podcast empire is just us doing this podcast still, and then us doing our own podcast still that are about the Flyers.
This is Drew's Flyers talk. This is Drew Street Bully, Doyle Street Bully, and Jeff Street Bully. I thought you were going to say something stupid, like, or something like, well, just it would be
it
all
was
us.
Very stupid.
It would all of us being, like, doing a podcast, and then, like, also, like, we would just do our own podcast about something else we like that we don't want to include everyone else in.
Well, I mean, that would
like,
be, the,
I would do
that
it
would
about
be
wakes.
The logical one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, I like yours way better. Yeah. It's stupider.
Exactly.
So my thoughts I'd never say in front of the two people I talk to every week about this.
Yeah, what I wasn't going to say in front of the two jackasses on some other podcast they talk about the Flyers that I'm with.
We just start a network of podcasts, but we
do
them
all about the Flyers.
We do them all out of your house, so like we just need you to be home every day of the week.
Damn it! I'm working so many hours, I can't even keep up. Also, I do non-network podcasts, Drew, where it's a black pirate radio podcast, like one of those big non-pirate radios. Like, hey, how's it going there, fellas? How you doing? We're listening to some.
Call yourself Dr. X.
Jefferson Airplane, from a real groovy band from back over in the States. You probably heard of them. You're over here dying in the NOM.
In the States.
They'd had those. You ever hear that stuff?
No, I know, but like I'm picturing you saying that like right now as like Vietnam is active.
In a basement in New Jersey.
We could finally
get, Matthias Texas.
We could finally get the Backstreet Boys podcast off the ground too.
That's always the backup plan when this ultimately fails one day.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the Roman Empire. It might be a slow decline, but it will go down.
And it'll come right back up with the Backstreet Boys.
They're coming back. Backstreet's back. All right, yeah. Doyle, what'd you learn this week? Off this tomfoolery. We have people to entertain that probably are tuned out and turned off.
Yeah.
Is there anybody out there?
I learned two things. First thing.
Oh, my God. You're getting greedy.
After the Flyers lost to the Devils, 5-0. Season's over. Mail it in, boys. Give up. The second thing I learned was actually the Bruins lost to the Red Wings on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
They are a much worse team. So they should also mailed in their season's over, too. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's quacktastic.
And we've beaten both the Red Wings and the Bruins.
Yeah. The Bruins actually lost to the Red Wings twice this year.
Ah. Well, there is one thing we didn't bring up yet I think is very important. The Flyers right now, their final record as of this recording, just not for the season, obviously.
Yeah, it might change tomorrow.
It probably will change because the Flyers have a
big Because they have games. A game tomorrow.
Yes, it's going to change. They're 31-19-7. Total of...
Or it couldn't change if something terrible were to happen, which... Thoughts and prayers go out to Jay Bomeister.
Oh, wait.
Perennial Flyers trade target.
Yeah.
Along with Dustin Byfuglien.
And they postponed the game until God knows when.
The Flyers have 69 points, okay? Nice.
I didn't want to let you finish that because I wanted to shoehorn that in there first.
Well, I was going to say this is finally the year the Flyers will go to Bomeister because his trade value is lower than it's ever been.
Jesus
Hey, no. He is...
No,
alive
I didn't want to bring it up, though.
Well,
I want to talk about some...
Well, in the sense that...
I want to bring up some NHL news,
he's
though.
He's alive.
He's under doctor's
he's alive
care.
And working his way back.
He's kicking.
Being more alive.
He needed a defibrillator
shout
to be
out,
alive, though.
Yeah, shout out to the Ducks. The Ducks medical staff
yeah,
jumped
EMS
into action immediately.
That's not the joke I want to make, though. Seriously, though. The Jay Bomeister was like a Flyers trade target since before
the
Flyers
the,
got Pronger.
Yeah.
He
was always rumored.
Original Dustin Byfuglien trade
yes.
target.
J-Bo from Florida, blah, 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 do that. But actually, what I really...
J-Bo from Calgary.
The joke I really wanted to make was when Jay Bomeister collapses, they stop the game. When Neuver collapses, they just shove him off the ice and keep playing. That's true.
Yeah, well, I think
they figured out that he was, like...
That Neuverth is full of phony baloney? Yes.
No, that he
full
was...
Full of crappy bonesies?
They're all like, Neuverth down again, and they're like, yeah, he does this.
That was a scary video to watch.
No, that was really scary. That was on the ice. But Jay Bomeister's on the bench. They don't even need him to play. He's on the bench, and they stopped the whole game. That's Jeez. How unimportant Michael Neuverth was.
I think they knew Michael Neuverth had the flu or something like that.
I think they knew anyway. Michael Neuverth was worthless
was full
to the team.
Phony baloney.
They almost didn't have a goalie either, because I think like Stolarz was like still on like... The extension coming down from Allentown when the game started.
Yeah, and then they had a.
Do you imagine how crazy it is though to have like a cardiac episode or like a heart attack, like sitting on the bench, like all the lights, and like you're, dude, that's kind of.
To be fair,
Rich Peverly has.
If you're gonna have a cardiac episode, it's probably the best place you can do it, because the medical people were immediately on him.
Well, yeah, they have defibrillators on hand.
That's why they're there.
Yeah, but that's like, imagine if he was just like driving to the rink and he was like, and then he drove into a bus
full of
kids.
Those guys, medical
kids.
People are like, oh, the game didn't really even start yet. It barely started, so it's got
Jesus,
let's just go.
I won overtime.
Let's go smoke a joint and like hang out. I was like, yo, this guy's about to die. Like, come on. But yeah, I'm glad to see that he's doing okay because they had to stop the whole game, which I don't think I've heard of happening in recent memory.
Did they do it? Did they cancel the game or delay the game when it happened to Peverly?
I don't think so. I don't know, though. That was like... years ago.
Yeah, and then there was a guy, we were talking about this before, there was a guy in the AHL who did it too. I think it was the Coyotes AHL affiliate. It happened to him. And I don't know what they did at that game, but I don't know.
I think the AHL game, it did stop. I think I remember hearing that, but I just could be making that up in my own head. So this is scary, though, just watching the scene, like all like the Blues and Ducks players are sitting there as they're like getting him off the bench. That's like so scary, dude.
Yeah, the like, you showed a replay of it, and it was not fun to watch.
It's just weird because that's the same like movement someone makes when they die.
like, the Peverly game was postponed to a later date.
Oh,
yeah, I thought it was. But that was like the bad news. Oh, speaking of which, we have more breaking news. Did you guys know this?
No. What are you breaking?
Now for the official Frog People Insider, Dr. Mike, breaking news.
Tonight's top story, Jeremy Roenick. Fired, pants on fired.
Yep.
So Jeremy Roenick, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think it was a few weeks ago, right? Right before the new year, maybe, I think, around the Christmas.
He did an episode of Spittin' Chiclets and then got, like, suspended a week after or something like that.
For his comments on Spittin' Chiclets.
Yeah.
Because he talked about how he was good friends with, what, Catherine Tappan?
Yeah.
Well,
and they went on vacation together, him and his wife, or friends with Catherine Tappan.
JR and JR's wife and Catherine Tappan on vacation, and he made a threesy joke.
Yeah, the summary abridged version is he made a threesome joke about his wife and Catherine Tappan. And Catherine Tappan was not happy about it after it came out.
Like, originally, everybody was like, they're friends. She's cool with it. And then she put out a statement that was like, I'm totally not cool with it. Like, that's...
I feel like it kind of forced her into a corner to, like, say to something, too. Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Did a door just creak open in a haunted house?
Goosebumps.
But in all honesty, though, like, I don't know... You should know better. Like, you can't say stuff like that.
You can't say, I want to have a threesome with a lady I work with at any job.
Like,
or most jobs.
Well, I'll say, whoa. At my job,
JR is very entertaining, but I totally understand, like, why they can't bring him back because of this.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I was wondering at first, because they were friends, I'm, like, thinking, like, then it must be a misunderstanding. Like, if she's friends, I guess she'd understand how he is.
Well, and then,
she went on vacation with him, I figure, like...
Which is probably all, like, true, like, could be true still, like, behind closed doors and everything, like, when it's
but
just
why
does
she have to make
out?
A stand? Why can't she be like, yeah, we joke around, like, that... I feel like there had to be some actual problem then.
And then, also, later on in the interview, he said that he would bang Patrick Sharp.
Or maybe, like, something did happen, or she would be cool that she was just mad that it was on a public forum.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it was, like, kind of forces her in a corner.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm not
in that world. I think it's funny. I think it's funny to make jokes if you're friends with someone. It's like, oh, yeah, I have a threesome with my wife. I feel like that's something they would, like, make a joke with.
Maybe,
have a few wine glasses. Maybe, like, not on a podcast,
though. If
maybe
you
clear it with her first.
Yeah. But if you, like, represented, like... A well-known.
I know. I get that part.
You're
I'm just
technically
saying.
On the clock.
I said I'm not in that world. Though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't. I feel like that was something that, like, you know, over dinner with a bunch of, like, random mixed company over like some wine. Like,
yeah,
if
that's
said
different.
That they probably laughed about it. And also, she went and looked at, like, her wine glass, going, "Oh my god, what about the tequila bar that night?" When he actually, like, brought it up as a joke, but I didn't think he was joking. Maybe something like that happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, more breaking news. The Pittsburgh Penguins, once again.
Anyway.
What's so funny, guys? Grow up. The Pittsburgh Penguins get bailed out on a trade.
Again.
Like, what does this GM have on them? Like, is this guy, like, working with the Clintons? What is he doing? Like, is he going to, like, just start, like, I don't understand, like, to have all this, like, this good trade fodder go towards them. So the Penguins traded Galchenyuk, a conditional first-round pick, and one of their defensive prospects named Addison. Hopefully that seems not Rose. Just kidding. That's the guy's last name.
So,
they got Zucker.
Yeah, Jason Zucker from the Wild. Zucker has 2 years left in his deal of 5-5 a year. For the Penguins, they don't like Galchenyuk. So that's a bonus for them.
No one likes Galchenyuk.
Yeah, he's basically like bargain bin discount at this point for every team that gets him.
He's a free agent, too.
He's Ole Jokinen of today.
So Galchenyuk
goes... always gone to every different team.
The first round pick is conditional, but the Penguins are in win now mode before that Crosby and Malkin window closes. So any first round pick they're going to give to another team is going to be late first. Right, you assume
pretty much,
and then they'll start losing once those guys retire.
Late first, like for every Claude Drew that gets picked at 22nd, there's a bunch of guys that never ever make the NHL or do in fourth line roles. The only real big piece here is that defenseman that they gave up, Cale Addison, I think.
Cale Talbot.
Yeah, apparently he's supposed to be good, and that's the only real risk the Penguins took by making this trade. But the Penguins need to win now, because once Crosby and Malkin fall off, I don't know, like, what's the state of their franchise?
I think the trade makes sense for both teams in terms of where they are currently. Like, Minnesota's, like, I don't know, 4 or 6 points out of a playoff spot, something like that right now. But they're like, they're probably not going to make it.
They're only 4 points out right now behind Arizona and Vegas. Yeah. However,
but there's a lot of teams crowded around.
Yeah,
them.
There's looking at the West compared to the East, though. It's the West is not the best anymore.
But Minnesota's trying to like build right now because they also have like Miku Koivu's getting old, Stahl's getting old, and Bill Guerin actually said like we're trying.
He's getting old. I'm just kidding.
we're trying to stockpile some assets basically, and but the real conspiracy theory was. Since Bill Guerin is a former Penguin, that there's some insider trading.
Would you be worried about that? Or how about the time like Hextall was making picks to get LeCavalier over there? So I guess to be fair, as a Flyers fan, Hextall worked some magic when he traded LeCavalier to the Kings.
Yeah, well, the Kings were also still like in a Stanley Cup mode.
Yeah, for at least another year or so. Yeah. So I guess that makes sense. But, yeah, the Penguins get another, like, good deal out of this, which, I mean, I don't have to – it's just helping them, like, bolster up their line to make another run again, which kind of sucks. But the Flyers aren't too far behind them. The Flyers are only 5 points behind the Penguins, and if they had actually got a point last night or won last night, they could have won, or the other night, depending on if you're listening when it comes out, because you don't listen to it when you do it live, idiot Drew, they could be even closer. So the Flyers could still make up ground. And I think they still – or put themselves in position to get their spot in the Metro, regardless of what the Penguins do with their trade.
I mean, and also, Columbus has lost Seth Jones for, like, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, basically the rest,
and
not the rest of the year, but
Cam
for a good
Atkinson's
chunk.
Out for, like,
that's
going to
kill them
now, too.
Seth Jones alone
will
kill
Jones
them.
Seth Jones is their top, one of their top pair.
He's their top defenseman.
He's their top defenseman, yeah. Nashville grows defensemen on trees, so they got rid of them.
I mean, they've been defying all odds right now.
Right.
So, I mean,
because that Latvian goalie has like 17 shutouts.
So they've been my pick to kind of just like taper off and start fading, but they haven't yet. So, I mean,
maybe the injuries will finally be the one to do it, though, over time.
But, like, yeah, but as you said, the wild card race and the Metro race alone is just out of control right now.
It's the exact opposite of the NFC East for the NFL with the Eagles this past year. That's going to be a problem. But whatever, it's not going to be a big deal. But so the Penguins made their trade. The Flyers, as of this recording, have about all of next week and then that weekend to decide if they're going to make a trade. So they have about a week and a half. Trade deadline for the NHL is Monday, February 24th, 2020, the year of our Lord.
Do either of you have any, like, players that you think the Flyers should go after?
I don't think they will. I think they're going to stand pat.
I think if they did,
it would be a depth move. It wouldn't
be
anything
big.
It would
be for, like, a third-line center.
Yeah.
Money-wise, that's pretty much all they can afford.
Well, yeah.
Unless they're moving big pieces, but they're not going
to do that
on trade deadline.
The
years of big trade deadline deals aren't really there. Like, it's teams getting rentals that are really ready to take a shot at a cup. And it's, teams, like, looking for added depth down the stretch or maybe getting a bargain on a player that is having a problem with the team, like, internally. They want to get rid of and get, like, a blue tag discount on, but I really don't think the Flyers are poised to make any kind of big splash. Maybe a depth move. I think your third line center thing is definitely an option.
Especially, I think, like, the timeline for, I think they're going to try and figure out if Patrick can play by then, and if he can't, then I think they're going to try to do something.
Yeah, and
he has been practicing recently.
A lot of the articles coming out now are saying the Flyers' biggest trade line addition could be Nolan Patrick. But that's based off of his week of consistent practicing. And
yeah, we'll see how it turns out. We've been waiting for him to play only since, like, September.
Yeah. So if they did go after, I would pick Chris Tierney from Ottawa, not J.G. Pageau. No, thank you.
No, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, it seems fair.
Yeah.
Seems fair.
Or you go out and get Kovalchuk as a scorer.
Yeah, he's cheap.
No, thank you.
He's cheap guy.
You guys really want Kovalchuk, though?
Or we could bring Jeff Carter back, like everybody
else. Or we could bring Jeff Carter back.
All right, this is where I know you guys are kidding. Oh, my God.
But Kovalchuk's on a 1 year, his half of his league minimum salary, so, like, it wouldn't be the worst thing if he scored, but he's kind of an ass, so.
Do you guys know what time it is?
Yeah, it's 9:34.
No, it's not, Doyle. It's...
It's time for...
Shibba-doo-bop-bop, tweet of the week. Yeah!
Let's us for right time for Tweet of the Week, that point of the show. Are you the listener? Are you the fan? Are you the person who runs the Yahoo Sports account on Twitter, tweets something funny, cool, and doesn't delete this time again? So, Jeff, what's this week's Tweet of the Week?
Just do it.
Do what, Jeff?
What does Nike have to do with this, Jeff?
I don't want to start this, because then you're going to jump in and you're going to be all like, oh my god. This is interrupting Drew. Stupid.
This is interrupting Drew, actually, Jeff. Stupid. Back to Tweet of the Week, Drew. Thank you, interrupting Drew. This week's Tweet of the Week comes from at Yahoo Sports NHL. They tweeted a video of men throwing a little girl around the room, like three men throwing a girl around the room. They said, NHL general manager is passing Alex Galchenyuk around, which I think is hilarious because we've all seen this happen before with him.
Yep. He's on his like fourth team in what, like 3 years, something like that?
And this video has 28.7 million views. It's from a TikTok, whatever that is. These kids nowadays with their TikToks.
Yeah, the younger generation's doing nowadays.
What, I thought Kesha did it okay. I didn't want to do a whole app about it, you know?
Jesus.
Fuck.
Thank you, Drew, for that. It's here for him.
Give-a-doo-bop-bop.
Interrupting Drew doesn't care about your soundboard.
Honorable mention to Tom Doherty, who tweeted out a picture of John Cena.
Cena.
So somebody brought a John Cena action figure to the
doll.
To the Panthers game.
It's a doll.
And he tweeted that picture, and then at Gipper Grove tweeted where at Huff45 tweeted I'm confused, I don't see anything, and at Provolone22 tweeted what action figure? Classic playoff of the you can't see me.
Oh, I see what they did there.
John Cena wears camo pants sometimes.
You should turn that interrupting Drew bit into the knock-knock joke.
Interrupting, it's interrupting Cal.
Yeah.
It's interrupting fat ball, goddamn Drew. Oh, you guys are still listening. Okay, making sure you guys are still
I was wondering what you were doing over there.
Wrap the damn show up.
Hey, Flyers fans, this is Lauren, and you're about to find out who the Lauren Hart Wave of the Week is.
That's right, people. It's time to do, we're going to do a little special edition this week. We're going to pick a flyer to get a wave, a.k.a. a Lauren Hart Valentine, for something great they did, or little kudos. That part's sponsored by Lauren, but don't tell her. It's okay. She loves us. Doyle, you didn't get to go first earlier, so who's going to get your Lauren Hart wave for this special sultry Valentine's Day weekend.
It's uncomfortable.
You don't like my sexy like midnight phone sex commercial Drew voice.
Yeah.
You don't like my midnight jazz radio DJ at a local crappy FM station Drew voice.
No.
You don't like my I'm nothing else.
So I'm going to
You don't
to
like
give...
my interrupting Drew rules.
I'm going to give my Lauren Hart waves of the week to rosy-cheeked Nolan Patrick for practicing four times.
For
in
doing
a row.
The good four times.
And wow. I hope that many more practices come of this and you somehow play this year.
Also, Doyle's doing the sign of a cross, and this nice Irish boy, and his Irish Catholic.
Well, place. Like nobody. So he's been practicing, but that's all anybody knows because Vigneault, Fletcher, and Patrick have all been denied
interviews.
Which is good.
Well, I mean,
yeah, they don't want to talk about it, but it's just.
I think they saw the last interview they did with Sam Carcitti. So,
oh
just like,
my god!
Do you like that your head hurts, or do you not like that?
How's Tylenol and ibuprofen? What kind of guy are you?
Nolan asking the hard-hitting questions here. Would you drink milk if it was expired?
Would you, if the moon made a barbecue spare ribs, would you eat it? I sure would.
You like Tennessee barbecue or Kentucky barbecue better?
Jeff.
We'll give my waves / Valentine's. God damn it.
Drew.
That doesn't
interrupting,
matter.
Interrupting the rock, Drew.
That does not ever get old.
Yeah, probably won't.
You can do that five times an episode. I'll still laugh.
Just like my girlfriend. Wait, that's illegal.
I thought you...
Jesus.
Jesus.
Just like ice cream in my house.
Just like Uncle Fester's.
Good. That was a really
good
joke.
Does ice cream ever get old?
It can expire.
I think because Drew eats it before it gets...
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't get old.
Eats it before it even melts.
Doesn't get any freezer burn. Nick Obkabel.
Obey Kubel.
Solid. I'll pronounce it how I want. This is America, Jack.
Get it right or pay the price.
This is America. I will pronounce it how I wish.
Well, okay. You're wrong.
That was very Colonel Sanders sounding of you.
I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
How many rebel flags do you have stored from your grandparents in your basement right now with that accent? Jesus.
Yeah, my grandparents were from Eastern Europe.
That explains a lot.
So it's just commie flags.
This makes so much sense. Jeff, don't bring up communism because you know what that means. I don't have flashbacks of the...
Excellent. We've gone a whole episode. We had to get one in somehow.
One, try two. Oh, I was kidding. All right. My Lauren Hart wave of the week goes to... And a very underrated something that I want to talk about, and that would be this bathrobe. Forget me through this podcast.
I knew it was going to be something about yourself.
Listen.
I knew it was either going to be you. Like, listen, I've been working really hard this week. I got to host this thing. I'm just going to give some waves to myself tonight.
I just want to give some waves to this bathrobe. Keep me warm, comfortable, give me some good aeration down under. And also,
why would you need aeration down under?
Because I wore a lot of clothes today. And I just want to, like, making me feel comfortable
enough.
Is your
down under in Australia?
Men at work, baby. Mm. So I just want to thank this bathrobe for the official, unofficial sponsor of Interrupting Drew and all your favorite characters at the Broad Street Bully Podcast. We thank you. The Flyers team reaction this week, they're going right back to work to get started tonight. They're at the Florida Panthers, a little rematch from the other night. At 7 p.m. puck drop, and they'll stay in Florida, this time going to St. Petersburg, the Forum down there, to play the Tampa Bay Lightning at a 4 p.m. puck drop. That's right, 4 p.m., so get your drinking in early, get that game going.
Tampa's on some kind of win streak.
Yeah, they
always go on.
Like
they always do. Not as good as last year.
They're catching up to Boston.
They're 9-0-1 their last 10.
Yikes.
Yeah, so that's going
to
be a
but
good
But you know what? That's the record. The prime Flyers come out and beat them 6-1 or whatever.
Just give me 3 or 4 points this weekend. That's all.
And then the Flyers will be playing the Blue Jackets. Circle that one on your calendar,
yeah,
boys.
Yeah, you'll get to see Latvian Phenom.
Home and home, right?
It's going to be a home with the Blue Jackets on Tuesday for a 7 p.m. puck drop. That's going to be for Metropolitan points, for wild card points. So that's a game the Flyers got to win in regulation to really solidify something. And also get as many points as they can on this Florida swing. We'll be back here next week to talk about the Flyers, getting you ready for the Flyers heading to Columbus next Thursday for that. But for those of you enjoying any off time this weekend, enjoy your President's Day weekend. You guys got anything else for the good of our fans out there?
Let's point out that Shea Weber's out 4 to 6 weeks again with another injury, and just how thankful we should be that the Predators matched that offer sheet.
Yeah, probably. We could have won a cup maybe though if Weber popped the next year.
I don't know.
In my alternate universe, somehow the Flyers sign Shea Weber and Chris Pronger doesn't get hurt. So in whatever alternate universe that is, they won a cup.
That's the Marvel New 52, right? To change all the origin stories there.
Yeah, that'd be great, though, if all that happened somehow.
But, yeah, guys, we'll be back next week to talk about that stuff. Enjoy your presence day. Enjoy your time off. I'm going to Lank City this weekend. I'm not going to fuck a hooker. I'm not going to wear a wig. But I am going to rage on with this bathrobe. So I'll check you guys on the flip side, layers on the Menjay. Be good to yourselves. Be excellent to each other.
Vach your son, Vach.
And most importantly, drink your damn Ovaltine. Good fight and good night.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.